Hey, Andy.
Hey, how are you?
I know we usually have a kind of love-hate thing on there,
yeah,
but I thought, seeing as it's Valentine's Day, kind of call a truce today.
Oh, really? Oh, that's very nice of you. Normally we kind of like, we're quite mean to each other.
Well, I've got you a present.
Oh, have you? Oh, that's very nice of you. What have you got? Oh, it's a rose.
It is.
Oh, how sweet of you.
Yeah.
Oh,
lots of thorns, but it's a rose.
That's very nice, though. That smells lovely.
Got anything for me?
Actually, I do. I kind of put a bit of thought into my present. I've written you
really?
written you a poem.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear it?
Oh, okay.
Roses are red, the grass is greener. Come here, gorgeous, and pull on my...
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steph Barnett. Welcome to all listening across our 10 stations broadcasting from home here on BCFM.
Today on the show, the Palace Film Festival.
We'll be talking to Harry about the International Queer Film Festival.
And Umbrellas.
It's the second part of their podcast, now named New Name, Under the Brolly.
All coming today.
I wish you could.
I know. Like my rose.
I'm glad. Mine didn't prick you though with all those thorns.
Sorry, I was a bit quick with the jingle there. It was meant to be a streamer. So, you know, it's actually a party popper. Here you go. Party popper didn't rhyme.
Don't ever try and become a poet, will you? Ever.
So, it's very quiet in here tonight. We'd normally have like loads of people like in the background, and Mitch and Andy are out practicing the news.
Well,
it's you and me. It's Valentine's.
Well, they saw the rose and they just ran out the studio. They thought, oh my God, we're not staying for this. It's going to get messy.
So all good. Apologies if you're listening in your car in Bristol. It's quite gridlocked at the moment, isn't it?
It is gridlocked in the area, yes. If you're listening live, which a lot of stations do. It'll all be over if you're listening on all the other stations.
So some of them take it live as well. So, but yeah, if you're listening on BCFM, which is our home station.
Yeah, and Froome.
Yeah.
And Froome's Radio live, WSM.
Yeah.
And Pirate Nation. And tomorrow it's Glastonbury. Tiv and Bass Bristol.
Going to carry on? Because you're really good at this. You always remember them all.
BSR are 10 o'clock on Saturday, and It's 9 Radio are Monday at 6.
Cool.
Yep. Hoop-de-doo.
Hoop-de-doo. So. Are you doing anything later for Valentine's? Or are you and your other half doing anything special?
Well, what is special is that the movie we did with the short film we did with the BBC is up for a Royal Television Society Award.
Oh, amazing.
That was announced yesterday.
Amazing. So if you haven't seen it, it was a Point West special, wasn't it?
Inside Out West.
Oh, Inside Out West. Sorry, yes. Yes, that's right. Seb Chow.
Well, it wasn't Inside Out West, actually. It was Inside Out because it went national.
Did it? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's what we're really pleased about.
My agency fees are very, very cheap if you know you need a manager.
Really?
Your phone's going to ring off the hook soon, isn't it?
I'll think about that one.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you for the offer, though.
Thanks. So we're going back to love-hate relationship now, aren't
we?
Fair enough. I'll put your broomstick away then.
Yeah. How many times you had that red top in the wash?
Why?
Just wondering.
Has it faded or something?
Slightly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, it's just not as vibrant as it was.
I don't know what to say to that.
There is nothing to say. It's a fact.
On my T-shirt.
I was too nice to you, really.
Now, events.
Yes.
Do you want actual jingle for this? I can do jingle for this if you want.
Up to you. I can go jingle-less or jingle.
Okay, hang on.
We'll be right back.
So, out our pick of the events. So,
yes, first of all, apologies from Evening Somerset Police, who's my five this segment usually is this time of the month, and but due to sickness and holidays,
yeah, well, they are
neither Helen and Mike. You know,
they do work very hard.
Could make so. It. Well, Helen's been off for quite a while now.
Has she?
She's been
not
quite
well,
ill.
Yes.
Yeah,
we'll get well soon, Helen.
Yeah, and now. We are going to have them on the show very soon. Bristol City Council fostering and adoption.
Oh, yes. Is it that time of
they're
year?
They're really keen on getting more same-sex couples to adopt and foster. In fact, there was an item in the news yesterday about how families made up of two dads are so good for fostering kids.
Oh, right, cool.
Yeah, so that's really nice to hear. Yeah.
I mean, we've gone through in the past some of the kind of myths of it, because people who are LGBT plus tend to think that, you know, they won't be able to foster or adopt because of some of the old things that used to be in play. And it's certainly not true now.
Absolutely.
You certainly can, and it's a very rewarding thing to do, isn't it?
So. Yeah. Well, if you want to get involved before they're actually on the show, the kitchen in Silver Street, that's BS12AG, they have a meetup. So if you are LGBTQ plus and interested in fostering, it's a public event run by the City Council Fostering and Adoption. So get down there. But I have invited them on. They were keen to get on before because there's LGBTQ Fostering and Adoption Week coming up.
Right.
But unfortunately, we're
a bit busy.
Booked right out.
Well, we should point out, if you're not in Bristol and listening, there usually are similar services in your area. Ask your local council for more details.
Yep. In fact, the group that are coming into studio cover the whole of the South West and South Wales. So that will be our broadcast area. Yeah,
cool.
There's a few other smaller things going on. We've got no, we haven't. It's just come up sold out.
Oh,
so I won't even go there.
Well, literally,
yeah. Bristol Boys is sold out. It's a cabaret special, Love Ball. Yeah, great. Hush tomorrow, 2100 is Queer Valentine's. That's at the Queen Shilling, and Hush is for. For lesbians and trans women are very, very welcome.
Well, it's for women, isn't it? So you can be bi or pan or whatever.
Yeah, but there's a lot of prejudices out there currently. There's a lot of the tourists are doing the rounds again at the moment.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough. So, but no, I know the Hush are very accepting.
They are very open. Yep, absolutely, so. Very inclusive, which is nice to know. Now. Anyone who's a fan of Nina Cherry, she's live at the SWX. That's on Sunday at 7 o'clock.
SWX?
Yeah.
What's that?
SWX? Mm. You don't know where SWX is?
I wouldn't have asked if I knew where it was.
Well, I'll tell you, it's 15 Nelson Street, BS12JY.
Oh, marvellous. There you go. You can sat-nav it now.
You can. Now, there's another one that sold out that was about to read out Friday 22nd, Fat Blokes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're not doing so well with these.
No, and we've got another night that I was going to tell you about. It's also sold out at the Thecla.
Oh, well, at least we're kind of like on the ball and know when they're sold out, I suppose. One good thing.
Yeah. We've got Plu Valentine's with Diamin. That's the Dare 2 Club. That's the Dare 2 Club is 1 Alford Street. Alford Street, BS2ORF.
And then Sunday is Fet Club.
Yes.
For those. That's a men's fetish club night. So check them out online.
Okay. Yes, all done.
Marvellous.
Exit, please.
Cool. Here we go.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a bit of Pulp Fiction, is it not?
Was. Yeah, and thanks for the dance, Mitch.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
You've got some moves, girl.
So have you.
Yeah. And hello, Andy.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, hang on. Let me. Where have I got you?
Over here.
No, that mic's not working at all.
Do you want to come
not
to this?
Not at all. Hang on, let me try that. How's
that?
Oh, that sounds better.
Oh, I think try the other one again.
How's that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Whoa.
Oh, lovely.
Sorry, listeners.
Like, technical problems live on air. Marvellous, isn't
it? Blew everyone's
speakers
out.
I'll try that again. Hello, Andy.
Hello, everyone. For a second time.
So, Mitch and Andy on news.
Yes. Cool. Yes, indeed.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 14th of February.
Veganuary was a complete success, reports the Guardian newspaper, in a revelation that will be welcomed by the many LGBT and allied people who are vegan or vegetarian. The Guardian found that around 60% of the people who tried a plant-based diet during January intended to continue to be vegan as the year progressed. And also notes that the initiative was very popular with people who call themselves flexitarians. They're the ones who don't eat meat, they do eat meat, but wish to lessen their consumption of flesh and contribute to positive solutions to ecological problems. It is known that a considerable number of gay and trans people are vegetarian or vegan and take an interest in animal welfare and farming ethics. The Guardian report also spoke to the Co-op and Tesco's. Both of these retailers are very popular amongst the LGBT communities for their active support of Pride events and networking for gay and trans employees. The Co-op reported that its vegan and fair trade wines enjoyed a huge increase in sales during January. And a spokesperson for Tesco's agreed, saying that their own brand plant-based ready meals had been purchased in large quantities. For more information and links to the Vegan Society and others, go to the Shoutout website.
Dr. Christian Jensen, who found fame as a friendly gay GP on the Channel 4 television programme Embarrassing Bodies, is back on the air with a new TV series of his own, Dr. Christian's Special Clinics. In the programme, he will be advising and supporting people on their medical journeys, such as a woman whose face was savaged by a dog and people living with chronic pain. Special Clinics goes out on Monday evenings for the next 6 weeks on the W Channel, on Sky, Virgin and other cable platforms.
The What's On Student Guide is a quarterly publication for the nation's students, and it headlines in its winter issue that the hit-making pop group Years and Years, whose lead singer Ollie Alexander has become a popular spokesperson for young gay and bi people across the Western world. The band reflect on their student years, and the magazine also contains extensive listings for women and LGBT students in the UK.
The Jewish Chronicle newspaper, one of the oldest examples of community media in the United Kingdom, having been published since 1841, leads with a major story saying that British Jews are concerned that they face a perfect storm of hostility both from left and right of the political spectrum. From the political right, there are the usual suspects of extreme groups based on traditional anti-Semitism. These have been boosted by the phenomenon of Brexit, which has mobilised many bigoted people to the idea of a pure Britain. The Chronicle also identifies a new level of anti-Semitism from the macho left, who are allegedly to wield unduly large leverage over the current Labour Party. These people are apparently deeply influenced not by an old-fashioned anti-fascist left-wing ideology of the 20th century, but by a hodgepodge of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about groups of people including Jews and LGBT people. The Jewish media has been instrumental in pointing out that there is a link between anti-Semitism and homophobia in many of these narratives. Please see the Shoutout website for further links.
Danny Dyer, who has earned new respect from the public for his no-nonsense advocacy for universal human rights, in a recent copy of the Big Issue magazine, has told the television weekly Total TV that he feels an affinity for King Edward II, who was an English monarch who had a gay male lover in the Middle Ages. So that, according to some in historical interpretations. Edward was executed in January 1327 by his own barons after several unsuccessful wars against other nations. But some accounts allege that he was partly killed for his sexuality and possibly by a symbolic disembowelment. Mr. Dyer has been presenting an offbeat history series for BBC One, which, according to Radio Times, excuse me, follows on from discovering that he has royal blood. Danny Dyer with royal blood dating from the medieval period. Although medieval people considered sexual orientation somewhat differently to modern conceptions, there were many examples of same-sex relationships and gender-fluid people. And the late gay Catholic historian John Boswell has argued that during some periods, these relationships were actually celebrated by highly religious society dominated by Catholicism. For more information, go to wikipedia.org.
Gay and trans-vegan activists have welcomed a protest held by the non-violent animal rights campaign group DXE in Brighton. The group picketed stores that sell leather and fur garments, with placards reading, "Please wear your own skin." The group did not target LGBT-run stores such as Clone Zone or Prola in Brighton's Gay Village, which also do sell some fetish products for leather men and women. Another animal rights campaign group in the United States called PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, did on one occasion lobby a gay leather convention, suggesting that it would be better, a more eco-friendly fetish to take up would be to wear rubber or latex. This action did prompt a lot of debate between LGBT people at the time. Links can be found on the Shoutout website.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutout.lgbt. That was close.
Shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutoutradio.lgbt, people.
For Shoutout News, this has been...
This has been Mitch.
And Andy.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. On.
There you go. Leave the light on. That's my Tom Walker. Oh, hello, Andy. The light on. Was that your knee by any chance?
No, not my knee, no.
Because I will leave the light on. I like that song, do you?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you scared of the dark?
No, not really. Light? No. No? No, no. My phobia is enclosed spaces, claustrophobia.
Oh, okay.
I'm not particularly keen. So. No. Do you have any phobias?
Well,
spiders.
Same as no spiders. Brooms. No spiders. No, I have a broom. So, and it flies quite well. Thank you very much.
So it started off so well with a sort of bit lovey-dovey type of show. It didn't last long, did it?
No.
No, never mind. Anyway, we ought to welcome our guest. So do you want to do this?
Harry Silverlock from the International Palace Film Festival.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Shout Out.
Is this the third one that's coming up?
So this is the first one in Bristol.
But the third one...
We've had previous editions in Poland and in Berlin, and we've had pop-up screenings in Leipzig. But this will be the first edition of the film festival coming to Bristol.
Oh, is this the first one in the UK then?
It'll be the first one in the UK,
Okay. So give us a bit of history then. How did it all start? How did it all come about?
It was piloted in a Polish palace, actually, as part of my friend Fia's project, which is the Palace Collective, where we invite 200 artists to come and live and work and create inside an abandoned Polish palace in the south of Poland.
I'm assuming that's where we got the name from then.
Yeah, so exactly. So that's the kind of history of it. So it's quite an original story that it kind of came from that. And I just sort of set up a cinema in the attic, and we just showed queer films in the attic of this abandoned Polish palace.
Oh, it was abandoned.
Well, it was kind of derelict. There is a family that do live there,
right.
But the actual estate, it's kind of like a nobleman's estate that kind of about 700 years old that kind of went into disrepair. So it's kind of a lot of it was kind of falling apart, and the roofs were falling through.
You didn't play the horror ones then.
Well, actually, in the first year, we did play some horror ones, and it was a bit spooky, for sure. Yeah, especially up in there.
So tell us what's coming in the one over here, then. What's the plan?
So this edition is definitely the biggest and punchiest yet, and we're showing 30 films over 3 days at the Cube Cinema in March, and we have, our opening film is Fluido, which is a queer sci-fi punk erotic fetish film set in Berlin. post-AIDS in the future. And that is a really, really beautiful film. You won't see it again in the UK for a while, I'm sure. It's a very unique film by a digital artist called Julia Chung. And other features we have a Derek Jarman film called The Last of England, which is from the 80s and the Thatcher era, and we're sort of putting in a new context of Brexit, sort of Britain. So it's kind of The Last of England again.
This is just before Brexit too, isn't it?
It's literally like a week before Brexit.
Was that planned?
It was. I mean, we sort of programmed it for that reason, and it is a Brexit special in that way. And we're going to have a live score from the Palace artists who will be performing live during the feature film. It'll be improvised.
Is it simultaneously happening in Wroclaw and Berlin, or do you take it in turns?
So it previously happened in July in Poland.
That's in Wroclaw, yeah.
Wroclaw, yeah, and it's a bit south. It kind of happens throughout the year in different cities. But this one is designed specifically for Bristol. It's programmed for Bristol, and it's our biggest one yet for sure. So we also have a closing film, which is The Shakedown, which is a documentary about a black lesbian nightclub in LA and their sort of story and how the police end up shutting them down. And it's a very important film, I think. And after that film finishes, we're going to have our own big party, and we're inviting all of Bristol to come and take part and see what we've created. And we're flying in artists from Berlin and from London, and we're flying from London, getting a megabus. and they're going to be performing. We have different performers coming in. We got a queer virtual game curator. We're going to play some queer games, and we're going to have performers performing their acts, and there's going to be a tattoo artist coming, and it's going to be a good night after that final film. So we're inviting the Bristol public to come and take part in that.
Excellent.
And of course, another big part of it is there's a lot of shorts going on as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so we have three short programs, and there's one designed there's one for community, and sort of it's trying to encapture the sort of a queer sphere, if you will, of what it means to be queer today. And you know, the queer spectrum is increasingly growing, and often I find that the queer community is quite fragmented, and I hope that these short programs that I've curated sort of there's an appetite for all queers to come and be involved and see what it means to be part of another identity in the queer spectrum. So we've got three programs. One's an experimental program, which is free for those who can't afford our £5 tickets, and then we have community activation, which is really about the community sphere. And then there's another program that I won't announce the title to because it's got a swear word in the title, and
queer as something we can't say.
Yeah. And that is it's all about being queer and owning it, and just being proud of who you are, and you know, people fighting harder than ever to be seen and heard, even though we've got it good these days compared to the rest of history. And it's really just a collection of stories that sort of ignites the beauty and desire and autonomy of being queer. I've really hoped that.
The other festivals that you have in Berlin, Leipzig and Wroclaw, are they queer related as well?
So it's the Palace Film Festival, yeah.
Yeah, so they're all queer related.
Yeah, so the film festival originally was a general film festival, and we had general films being programmed into it, but our queer strand was always the strongest. And for the past 2 years it's been exclusively queer film festival.
Okay.
And that's kind of like I see a lot of importance in queer film festivals, because it really is sort of accessing and sort of celebrating this idea of being queer and letting audiences know that they're not alone, and accessing new audiences and showing what it's like to be queer to straight audiences, and the impact of these kind of art events, I think.
How is it going down politically? Poland at the moment is right wing, religious, that right wing government are in.
Yeah,
and I know Wroclaw is quite a Western city and quite modernised through the European European Union.
Yeah.
How did that go though?
Well, because the palace event is so unique, and it's quite south of Wroclaw, so it's not in the city.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of slightly rural, the actual palace. So it was really interesting because the actual 200 creatives that come to that, they are international artists. They come from all over, from America, from Paris, from Berlin, from London, from Bristol. So they had no problem with it. But there were some local villagers who would come into cinema and sort of walk straight back out again. And I'm not sure what they really thought of it because I didn't have anyone who spoke Polish with me at the time to ask them what their thoughts were. So it's kind of an interesting space to sort of showcase queer films because, yeah, you're right, it's not the most established in queer rights in Poland right now, and particularly...
There are certain cities. I mean, Wroclaw being one of them is very open-minded and very liberal.
Yeah, absolutely.
How far south were you? Were you south of Zapkowice?
We're in an area called Silesia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is fairly south. It's near the Czechia border, like we're right across from Czechia.
Yeah.
But the appetite in that area just for a sort of creative things to come through was so strong, and the local villagers were really, really very lovely, and they would come in and chat to us, and they would party with us and eat with us.
That's
And they were just so hungry for just all this like mess of creativity that was coming out of our community. And because it's not just a film festival there, there's like theater, there's dance, there's we have a big banquet hall of food, we have like discos, we have parties with we have ballet classes, we have life drawing. It's like a mass. It's kind of like unofficially Europe's biggest artist residency because...
Excellent. Now, Berlin was made to be queer.
Yeah.
and always has been queer since the 20s. So I guess it went really well for that city.
Well, in the Berlin and Leipzig screenings, they've been sort of pop-up screenings. So they've been sort of like one day of screenings. So there's been... Yeah, there's definitely a large appetite. The Leipzig screening was really interesting because we work with this collective called Ostapotheke, and so we had these screenings in this pharmacy. It was like an abandoned pharmacy that they sort of live above, and we're raising money for queer refugees in Leipzig. It was part of this wider night called Series B Bonti. And so we showed these queer refugee films to this community, and they lapped it up, and then we all had a big party afterwards, and it was a really amazing experience just to see.
What brought you after those three large European cities to Bristol? Why did you choose Bristol?
Well, it's my home, and I've been meaning to bring it here for a very long time. I don't know why it's not happened, and I think I've been sort of scared because I want it to be like the best one yet. So I've been kind of like planning this sort of like, you know, bit by bit, bit by bit, and slowly it's coming to be, and it's finally happening. And I think Bristol, you know, because it has queer visions at the Watershed, and you know, but there is appetite for another queer film festival. And
queer vision's been amazingly successful here. You know, Bristol just seems to love that kind of content. You know, I mean, but then Bristol's quite renowned for being that kind of eclectic and full of the arts, and you know, willing to step outside the box on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I'd hope you get a very good reception for it. Which would be brilliant. So tell us some of the info, because we are rapidly running out of time. So
yeah,
it's at the Cube. When's it on? How do I get tickets? That kind of stuff.
It's at the Cube on 14th, 15th, and 16th of March. You can find all tickets are through Head First. You can buy on the door, but we don't accept card at the Cube. You can go on our website, www.palacefilmfest.org, and where you can find all ticket links, you can watch trailers for films, you can find the short programs, you can buy tickets to our big queer dystopia event, you can follow us on Facebook as well, and Palace Film Fest and Instagram. And
what's it cost? Is it can I buy per movie or?
So it's £5 per cinema ticket. The live score is slightly more, and the party at the end is slightly more too. I think it's £7 right now, the early birds, and then I think on the door it'll be £10. Tickets are still available. They came on sale about a week ago. We still got a month left, so you know, there's still some time to get tickets. we tried to make our ticket prices very accessible because we thought £5, you know, is a good price to sort of get people in that might not come to cinema as well.
Yeah.
But we do understand that people might not even be able to afford £5. So we do have a free screening, which is on Friday afternoon, or pay what you can. For those
now,
that
I'm guessing that's a limited numbers thing. So is that a kind of like a first come, first serve type thing?
You can, yeah, it's first come, first serve. So just come along, and it's Friday afternoon at 1 PM, so it won't be the busiest time anyway. So hopefully there'll be spaces for anyone who can come. So that's a good way to see some of the films if you can't quite reach into your pocket.
Cool. Well, I'm a big fan of shorts as well. I love it. When Queer Vision first started, like they did several of them, and it was some of the best cinema I've ever seen. I love the fact that you're literally there and there's a couple of minutes and you get a mini story, and then you move on to another one and it's another mini story.
Yeah,
you almost watch like a ton of films in quite a short space of time.
Yeah, it's kind of
well worth going to see if you've not done a short before. So
it's so beautiful shorts, because sometimes they're just sort of snapshots of a feature and sort of like passing moments, and like, you know, they might not be completely self-contained stories, but they'll just be sort of like one sort of moment conveyed in a sort of really sort of direct way, and I think there's like a real beauty in just going to see like these like small moments like one by one, and I think also, yeah, just like the beauty of being like, oh, if I don't like this and it finishes in 2 minutes, I can go on to the next one.
yeah, if you don't like one, you sit there and stay waiting for the next one, don't you? So,
yeah.
Anyway, this has been lovely talking to you. Really, really hope it goes well.
Thanks.
When you're doing the next one that's twice the size, do come back and tell us about it, won't you?
I will, I promise.
Cool. Listen, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Welcome to Under the Blolly Episode 2, the My Umbrella podcast in partnership with Shout Out Radio.
My name's Tom.
My name's Steve. Just a reminder of what this podcast is about and why we're doing it. It is to spread awareness of the lesser talked about LGBT plus identities. This month we're talking about non-binary. So some of you might have seen our Guide to LGBT Plus, which is available from all good bookshops. No, I'm really kidding, actually. It's not. It's available from our Etsy store if you do want to check that out on our My Umbrella shop, which is myumbrella.org.uk/shop. However, hang fire, because there's more coming.
So our book says that people who are non-binary feel that they have a gender identity which does not fit the male and female binary. So it can actually be used as a more like an umbrella term for several other gender identities, such as androgynous, bigender, intergender, and loads more. So basically it's anything that isn't male or female in the binary.
So, late last year, My Umbrella were invited to take part in Trans Pride Southwest, and we met loads of fantastic people who identify as trans and non-binary. We were lucky enough to interview 4 individuals during Trans Pride, where Tom was out and about with our outside broadcast unit, who have very kindly given us permission to share their thoughts about being non-binary for Under the Blolly.
My name is Artemis, and I'm non-binary.
For people who don't know, what does it mean to be non-binary?
Well, for me, it means that I don't identify as either male or female. I haven't quite worked out the specifics of anything else yet, but that's as far as I've got.
Do you feel that being non-binary, you're recognised in the community, or would you like to see some changes in your favour or anything like that?
Sometimes I am, but it's the tricky thing where because the wider world doesn't actually recognise non-binary, and so one of the hardest things is just being constantly misgendered and that decision about whether you actually correct people or not, because a lot of the time just going about your day-to-day life is it's too short. Like, you can't just spend your whole life like correcting everybody who misgenders you. So it's making that calculation of do I actually have this conversation with this person or not? How are they going to react? Is it actually safe to do this? The problem with being non-binary is that nobody really understands what it is. So I think like visibility for non-binary people is really important. And so the more representation we can have in the media and events like this, but actually things that are actually become more visible to the public would be even more valuable. So yeah, that's what I think like as a community, that's what we need to be doing moving forward, is trying to kind of get more visibility so people actually understand what it is.
My name is Brandon Martucci and I identify as non-binary.
For people who don't know, what does non-binary mean to you?
Non-binary can mean anything for, like, it's like a personal sort of, like, description. Like, non-binary for me is kind of like, I don't want to identify as either male or female. I'm a happy being either nothing or both. That's where the split is. Some people see non-binary as being both. Some people say it's being nothing. The only reason why I say I like being nothing is because I don't like the label for something. Like, I look male, but I want to be more female. But I can't achieve that, so I just say, well, I'm neither. And that's the way I like to put it, basically.
My name's Jamie, and I identify as non-binary.
For anyone who doesn't know, what does non-binary mean to you?
It basically means somebody whose gender identity doesn't match what they were assigned with at birth, but it also does not necessarily match up completely with, like, the conventional ideas of male or female. So some people can be somewhere in between, some people can be a mix, some people can be something completely different.
In your experiences identifying as non-binary, how have you found the community, or the, you know, the wider community? What's their response been?
Personally, I've been quite welcomed. I have a quite tight-knit group of friends who also identify in a similar way, so we all kind of help and support each other, and largely people have been quite supportive. People kind of outside of the community have been a bit less accommodating, but I think most of the time that's more out of lack of education more than anything else. I think the main problem when I come out to a new person who's not part of the LGBT community is 9 times out of 10 the first thing they ask me is, what does that mean? Because it's just not talked about. I was in my late teens before I even knew that it was a thing. So I think one of the key things that we could do is raise awareness of it and just, like, tell people that it's a thing, that it exists, really.
If you could go back in time to a time before you were aware of what non-binary meant or who you were, what would you say to your past self?
I'd say, there's nothing wrong with you. What you're confused about is something that is not unique to you, so don't worry about it. There are other people like you out there, and get on the internet and do some research, because it will save you an awful lot of worries. The only piece of advice I would say is, be respectful. If someone asks you to refer to them in a certain way, do your best to honour it. Everyone makes mistakes, and most people will understand that, but the point is, if you care about that person, do your best to look out for them and respect what they ask you.
I'm Kerry, and I am a non-binary, pan-romantic, asexual.
Can you tell me, for people who don't know, what non-binary means?
So it's anything outside of the gender binary. So the gender binary is male, female. Outside of the binary is anything.
As a non-binary person, have you had any experiences where people maybe judge your gender or preempt who you are?
Not so much judge, but there is sort of a preempt of, yes, I'm biologically female, so I, at work, have to wear a female uniform, or my place of work, our uniform is gendered, and that does grind my gears. Yeah, so it's nothing really sort of negative, it's just, oh yeah, you're biologically female, so here, have this female uniform.
If you could, and you could go back in time and speak to your younger self before you knew your gender or sexuality, what would you say to them?
Be yourself, because there's nothing wrong with you. Don't try to fit to other people's guidelines of what you're supposed to be. Yeah, just be yourself, because life's too short to follow instructions.
So, there you have it. 4 individuals, different experiences of being non-binary, but all with a very similar theme. Respect yourself, respect each other, and overall respect somebody's gender identity and pronouns.
And we'd like to thank Kerry, Jamie, Artemis and Brandon for their contributions to this episode, and to Trans Pride Southwest for inviting us to be part of their amazing day.
We'd also love you to share your stories and experience, no matter what you identify as. And if you would like your personal LGBT+ identity featured, then get in touch. If you're uncomfortable giving your own name when contacting us or using your own voice, should you wish to be interviewed, we can still help spread your message. We have ways and means where we can disguise your voice, or you don't even have to give us your real name, as long as you get your message across.
And here's how you can contact us. You can email us on info@myumbrella.org.uk and put in the subject line "Under the Brolly" or UTB.
UTB. UTB. Sounds a bit hip and happening, doesn't it? You can also contact us either on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. Just search My Umbrella, use the hashtag Under the Brolly if you wish, because we'd love to hear from you.
And you can join us next month when we'll be talking about another LGBT plus identity as part of Under the Brolly.
Anyway, we'll see you soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Keep Holding On. And that version's actually from Glee, that one.
Oh,
nice.
It's a really nice, really nice tune.
Yeah.
Don't know if I can hear myself.
We'll have another pair of headphones.
I will. Someone's left their nuts here, you know, Andy.
Peanuts.
Well, that's because we have gay people in the studio, Mitch.
Oh, honestly.
There isn't gay people in this studio.
I think you'll find there's fruit there as well.
Oh, fruit and nuts?
Yes.
Oh, you don't want to go leaving your nuts behind.
I know, aren't they precious?
I guess the studio's
full of
fruit.
Do you want to talk about kings?
Don't talk about... I'm really sorry, listeners, but I did have a little bit of a...
It was my fault because I was off mic, and when you read that story out, we shouldn't laugh at it either. It was actually quite a serious thing,
very
wasn't it?
Serious. Actually.
But it was just the look of surprise because you weren't expecting to read it out. Yeah. It was the look of surprise on your face.
Yes. So. Yeah. Well, it's quite a graphic word, isn't it? Disembowelment.
Yes.
Mm. It is. Yeah.
It comes
talking
up,
of disembowelment, Game of Thrones is about to start the new series.
I have not watched a single one yet.
Oh, no. Andy.
No, we're redoing them, so we're on series halfway through six. So we get some seven.
Netflix, isn't it?
No.
Sky.
Sky Atlantic.
Oh, that'd be why I haven't watched it then.
Yeah. Well, you can get it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, can you?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You can get the previous seasons on Amazon.
Yeah, you won't get eight on Amazon.
You won't get eight yet.
Right.
But yes.
And hopefully coming soon is Deutschland 86.
What's that one?
That's Channel 4 German TV series, but it features a gay character, and this one's set in 1986. The previous one was set in 1983.
Oh, right.
And it's a really, really good series. The first one was on, 83 was on in going back in 2016 on Channel 4. Really, really interesting TV series. Okay, you do have to read the subtitles or be good at German.
Okay.
Well, there's also the Favourite is on at the moment, isn't it, with Olivia Colman and Rachel Weisz.
Yes.
A couple of my favourite actresses. And they get in rather sexy positions as well, haven't they?
And it won all the awards for that.
And it did.
On
it
screen.
Did.
Yeah. I'm watching a sci-fi series at the moment called The Night Flyer. That's very good. That's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Andy.
You know, Netflix asked a question on Twitter, and now, as you can imagine, they had thousands and thousands reply. What would you like to see come back? And 90% must have been Sense8.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bring that back.
Yeah. They have announced a new series of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yes.
In fact, it's not called that anymore, is it? It's just called Queer Eye, I think.
Yes. Yeah, Queer Eye.
They kind of rebranded it to make it a little bit more modern, but. Still. Anyway, it's me, isn't it? Hang on, let me get my script out. That's it for this week. Whether you are celebrating alone or with someone special, whatever you do, we hope you have a lovely Valentine's Day.
And if you loved Andy's poem for me, head over on to LGBT Shoutout Radio. Yeah, that one. That's because I don't want him to go there to read the poem. Read the poem, but go to shoutoutradio.lgbt to grab all the other podcasts.
So next week is Punker, but from myself, Steph, Andy, and Mitch, say bye bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.